That's the Zold Amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, what is that song, On the Road Again? Old little Willie Nelson stuff for you today. Hey, listen, I got to be quiet. I'm in a hotel room, and this guy over here has got a do not disturb sign on his door. This guy over here does too. And, of course, it's more central time. I'm in Bloomington, in Illinois. I didn't even know there was a Bloomington, Illinois. I knew there was Bloomington, Indiana. But I'm in Bloomington, Illinois. Me and my sweet little wife are here. We are in the smallest little hotel room that I think I've ever stayed in my life. It's nice. It's clean. It's called a Ramada Limited. You guys won't believe this. This is a beautiful hotel room. $45 a night. I thought sure there'd be bugs. I thought I'd be sleeping with the roaches, you know, for $45 a night. I checked it out online. So this got something not right here. And we pulled in here last night. Gee, man, except I could point over here, my little wife, there's the bed right here, and a bathroom. But, hey, $45. We're on our way to Wisconsin. You know, we have that thing, I'd say, the event tonight at the Marshfield at Rob Q's center up there. And then tomorrow we start the boot camp down in Milwaukee, Marshfield, Milwaukee. They're about 3 hours apart, so we're clear up here, and then we're going to have to go clear back down here. And actually, we're over here right now. I've got to drive up there this morning and then drive back down there the next day. Milwaukee's only about 80 miles north of Chicago for get your bearings in your head. So Michelle came with me. We're looking forward to a great weekend. We got a boot camp with already about 25 people scheduled for it. Sometimes we go do boot camps. I'll be honest with you. We get 5, 10. We got 21. Probably be more that will show up at the door. And we're going to go out to the abortion clinic on Saturday morning. We're going to have a grand old time. And if you're relatively close, come over and join us. You can join us tonight at Marshfield. That starts at 4:00. It's actually goes from like 4 until 9. Rob Hughes opened this ministry center there. And so we're going to do some street ministry there tonight as well from 4 to 9. Then tomorrow we're going to drive down south to do the boot camp down in the Milwaukee area. We'll do boot camp on Friday night, and then Saturday morning go to the street, and then Saturday afternoon, Matt Twell is going to be here, Peter LaBarber is going to be here, hopefully Jason Storms. I say hopefully because Jason's a father of a bunch of kids too, and he's out of town. He's coming back. He and Pastor Matt, who is the doctor of the Lesser Magistrate, that is Matt Twella, fabulous, fabulous guy. They're in Kentucky or somewhere like that, and then they're going to come in real quickly tomorrow and come in. So if you're anywhere close, come and be with us. Get into our today's show. Listen, I got to tell you something. I thought yesterday's show just rocked. I just unbelievable. And, I wish sometimes you guys out there could – I wish you could live in my head. Because if you could live in my head, you would know how anointed what's going on these shows are. Because like camera action and that live button goes on, sometimes I'm just amazed at the direction we go. And I just want to make sure that everybody understands it's the Holy Spirit of God. That's nothing special about me. I'm a vehicle that he's flown through. The points that you guys make out there in the queue makes the show interactive stuff. It's just fabulous. So I just want to give you all a tip of the hat. Thanks for being here. I want to talk to some real heroes today, and that's Big Rich. Big Rich is taking a crew. We started out with a crew, what we thought was going to be 8, now it's grown to 9, who are down in Port Arthur. Rich, Jim Bob, and is your buddy's name Mark Rich? I keep getting that
yep.
third guy.
Yep, it's Mark.
Mark. They've all come down from the Granite City, St. Louis area. They've all come down from St. Louis. Jim Kraft is coming from Ohio. Ray LeBlanc's come in from parts unknown. We've got a guy, Anthony Houston, who's flown in from the Minneapolis area. We have another guy, get my brain, Craig has come in from the Branson area. We have another guy, get my brain working, who's come in from Spokane, Washington. I'm sorry, I can't get his name. It'll come to me in a minute. He'll come. And then Rich said there's another guy coming in. And folks, these guys ain't cooking hamburgers. They're restoring home with all the funds that you donated. Hey, Rick, give us a full report from down there at Port Arthur.
There you go. Can you hear me? No, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, buddy. Yeah, we got you.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, we all made it safely, Dave. I want to give a shout out after talking to these guys. I mean, we've met people, like you said, we got people coming in from all over the country, man. And you know, once you meet them, they love Jesus. They're like-minded, and it's like we've known one another forever. And I tell you what, I want to give a shout out to Doug and Joe Hagman, man, because their platform putting you on is hooking guys. I mean, we've got, you know, meeting with Daniel and Anthony last night when they flew with
Daniel. Daniel Miller. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yep. No, just talking to them, and they heard you. I'll tell you what, Dave, something amazing happened. It was, you know, these guys, they've thrown away all the excuses, and they made a decision to come, whatever the adversity is. And some of them had adversity getting here. And they throw away the excuses. And the moment they did that, it changed their life. You could see it in them. They got down here. Dave, we haven't even started rehabbing yet. And these guys can't wait till the next time. I mean, it's unbelievable. We got brothers for life. They are committed. They know, you know, we went over skill sets last night with guys, you know, where to plug them in, and everybody's the same way. And one thing, when I went to bed last night, and Brother Lindell sent me a scripture this morning for the guys that I'm going to read here in a minute, but one thing that went through my mind last night was these guys don't love their neighbors. They love themselves. They love their neighbor more than they love themselves. Craig brought his friend David from Branson, Missouri, drove down here in a 27-year-old van with $200 in their pocket for fuel, trusting the Lord was going to get them here. They're here. We told them, don't worry about a thing from this point on. And amen. Just guys that love Jesus and want to serve. And I'm telling you, man, there's something going on here. It's starting to, God's starting to raise up men.
Amen. It's awesome, Rich. And I want to pause right here a second, folks. I want you to all understand this, that these guys are down there because of the financial donations that you guys made to us. And here's a decision that we made. This work needed to be done. And I could not ask Big Rich to drive 20 hours down there, work, and drive, lose a day on the road, both 2 days on the road. Jim Kraft coming from Ohio, lose a whole day on getting there and another whole day going home. So we made the decision that we were going to take some of the funds and put it into air flights. And these guys have flown down there. So they hit the ground and they're ready to work. And Rich, you're exactly right. These guys love others more than themselves. That's why they're down there, laying down their lives for others. So I wish I was there. I'm a bit envious, as you can imagine. But see, it's a good thing I'm not there. I don't even know how to swing a hammer, really. So I just
they're lucky that I'm not. Hey, Coach, they're lucky I'm not there.
Well, listen,
too hard, Dale? My cry.
We need to tip, Dale, listen, we got to tip our hat to you because you've set this whole thing up for us beautifully down there, man. And we're going to get, we don't know what's going to go on. We know that we're going to restore houses, 4 houses, 5 houses. And people say, oh, all of that. Let me tell you something. You give 5 people a life back in their house. You don't think that's something important. It really, really does matter to them. And Dale said it's about $2,000 in supplies, drywall, nails, insulation. We'll do 1 house. Now the labor's free. These guys, the labor's free. So when we flew them down there, their pay is their flight down. And now they can get in there and they can restore all of it. And Rich, you guys are in for a heck of a time. So what's your plan, bud? I don't hear you there, Rich. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I had my, I was muted there. That's right. Yeah, Dave, we've made contact with all these people, and we're going to hit it at 8 o'clock this morning. We're going to the first house. Brother Dale has got all the drywall there for
amazing.
Us.
Amazing.
It is amazing. I mean, this thing's working like clockwork so far. So we did have to pick up a few tools yesterday, we're hitting it this morning. We're going to go house to house. We've made contact with all of them, told them to be patient. We're going to be there. We're going to reach out again to them today and give them an itinerary of, you know, how the first house goes, you know, what we're looking at. But we got a couple four-man teams, and we may split into three-man teams. We're not sure. But, you know, Brother Ray's over there with Craig. And one other thing I wanted to add was, you know, this Craig and David come down. They got down here a couple days ago, barely had enough gas money to get here. They hadn't had contact. They didn't know my phone number. They didn't have a contact. When we finally met up with them last night, instead of wasting the whole day, they went down the street to a house Dale had told them about. And they started gutting that woman's house. And I said, I couldn't believe it. They grabbed some tools out of the house that they're staying wow. in, and they went over and started gutting. And the woman invited them back this morning for breakfast. And we told them we were going to pick them up this morning. And they pretty much said, well, we've already made a commitment. We're going to finish her up this morning. So it's just guys are just jumping in and being men and taking charge and getting it done.
Making the church great again, huh, Rich?
Amen.
Making the
Amen.
Church great again, buddy. And we appreciate you, because you are making us look good. And I'm going to make sure I get
job,
word of that.
Dave.
That's right. Just doing my job, huh? Just doing my job. I'm going to get word to the Hagmans about what a difference they have made, because I don't think they have any idea. I really don't
think
they don't.
They don't. Lord's using them. And yeah. And Pastor Dale. Love you, brother. Thank you, man. You make my life good.
Yeah, you love me now, you'll be cursing me by the end of the week.
Nah, they knew what they were in for. They knew what they signed up for. They'll be all right. That's a good work. And the thing is, Rich, these are all pretty much skilled guys and know what they're doing, don't they? It's not like you're dragging me down. They're trying to teach me how to use a tape measure. These guys know what they're doing.
Well, they are willing. It doesn't matter. I mean, they are just willing to get in and get it done. And so it's going to be good work.
Rich, thank all those guys for right down there for
you
me.
Bet.
You know, and
they're all
by
listening
the way,
I
don't know if they all know this or not. They all get a free ticket to hear the Watchman if they want to go. Mike Kerr said all those guys
awesome.
Go down there get a free ticket. So make sure that they know that. If they can figure out a way to get to Dallas and in March, they get to go free. So we'll
great.
Help them.
All right.
It's all good, man. Thanks for being down there, Rich.
You bet.
Hey guys, listen, I want you to know that part, you know, here I am in Wisconsin. And why I'm in Wisconsin, because Rob Pugh is doing the best he can to build a Salt and Light, can you turn down the honey? To build a Salt and Light Brigade group up here in Wisconsin. Listen, slow but steady wins the race. Despise not the days of small beginnings. And yeah, I get frustrated a lot because, you know, growth isn't fast enough for me. Or I was saying to Michelle as we were driving up here yesterday, we're finally waking people up, but we can't get them out of bed. They're awake, but they still don't want to get engaged. And as Rich said, those guys, those new guys that are down there in Port Arthur, their life's never going to be the same. It's never going to be the same. And that's my greatest. See, tomorrow morning, we're going to take these guys to the streets. Some of these people have never been to the streets. And we're going to get them out there on Saturday morning. I'm sorry. And they're going to hold a sign in front of an abortion clinic. And something's going to happen deep inside of them. And I want you to know that are listening right now, those of you listening right now, it can happen to you too. It can happen to you too, but you're going to have to get off your butt. You're just going to have to do it. You're going to have to face your fear. You're going to have to quit being double-minded. Scripture says that the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Excuse me, let him not expect anything from God. Can I go? Should I go? Can I afford? How about Craig and those guys? Craig got a hold of me about 7-8 days ago, said, I'd love to go. I don't have any money. He says, the Lord will make a way for me. And what Rich say? They don't even have gas money. They get in a car and they drive from Branson and get down there. And now they're down on the ground. So I want to show you something else here real quick. Jared, pull up that clip from Chad Estes' group. I think I said it for you. Chad Chad's working hard to build a Salt and Light Brigade down in Texas too. And they had a meeting last Saturday, and Chad sent me the video. I'm sorry, I got a little frog in my throat today, and I got my other glasses on. So it says Chad's crew right at the very first year. Look, I want you to know, some people are moving and doing. Not enough, but some are. And we are committed. We are going to build this. If you build it, they will come. And the thing that we liked about that, I wish the hurricane wasn't in Texas because it's so far away. I wish it had happened in Central America where people could get there. But we think that these crises, these hurricanes and tornadoes, they are great opportunities to get men engaged. Because listen, men will go help people. That's that mercy side of the ministry I told you about. Men will go help people. But men don't want to go do that prophetic side, thus saith the Lord side. Men don't like that. They're scared to do that. And we got to draw men out. Because I'm telling you, fellas, if we don't begin to push back, if we don't stand up and be men, if we don't, well, we'll show you some stuff later on here. But I want you to watch this real quick video from Chad and his group. And they're having another event on the 18th, I think, of November coming up. They're going to do it again. Chad, if I'm wrong, you can correct me. But you're going to see some familiar faces here. Go ahead and roll that real quick, Jared.
Hey, Coach and crew. This is Chad. I just wanted to say that what I've enclosed here is a clip of some of the testimonies and experiences of those who attended our Greater Texas Salt and Light Brigade meeting this weekend. We hope and encourage all that can join us on the next one to please do so. Thanks.
Hey, Coach. I'm still Silverman. In Texas, but I'm down at Chad's this weekend. I'm actually here just for the day because of scheduling. But having a wonderful time, brought my daughter with me, and my wife is going to come down next time if I can get her schedule worked out. But we will be here for this because the study was wonderful. The prayer was amazing. And the other stuff that we're doing too, besides eating, is really good as well. So come on down here. It's your turn to come on down here. And I'm probably expecting to see you maybe at the first part of next year. But I'd really love for you to come down and spend some time with the people here. Take care, Coach.
We'll get you. We got to get you a new hat, Joe.
Hey,
we got to get you a new hat.
I'm Dave Hawkins.
And I'm Cynthia.
Yeah. We're from Louisville, Texas.
Cynthia.
And we came down here to Chad Estes Ranch and for the weekend, and it is awesome.
Pause that a second, Jared.
Just had a fantastic.
David Hawkins is a former pastor. Met him at the Hear the Watchman. He and his wife, Cynthia. This guy's the real deal. This guy's all in. And I said to him the other day, or I had a conversation with him, I said, man, about time for you to find yourself a church and be pastoring again. So, David, I want you to know I'm praying for that the Lord's going to put you in a pulpit where you can have some positive impact. Go ahead, Jared.
Fantastic time of fellowship. Learned a lot about prepping and the things that we need to do to get prepared. Number one, get to know the Lord first and hear his voice. Number two, prep for everything else. And we just really enjoyed it, and hope that everybody else could come on down here too. So thanks, Chad and Michelle, and hey, Coach, take care. Love y'all.
Hey, Coach, this is Anthony reporting in from Estes Ranch here on Sunday. We just concluded up the second fellowship meeting, and we're just doing big things out here. We added a spiritual warfare to the meeting this time, taking the fight to the spirit. I'm just looking forward to all the future plans that we have. We're taking the fight to the streets, taking the word to the streets, and looking forward to getting you down here pretty soon since you couldn't make it for the hurricane. So you still got to come see us.
Hey, Coach. It's Marty with Floresville, Texas.
Hey, Marty.
I'm out here at Estes Ranch with the Salt and Light Brigade.
Stop this a second,
it's
Chad.
A Texas.
I don't know if a woman can be a stud, but Marty's one. Michelle's over my shoulder. She would attest. Marty called me one day out of the blue. She says, Coach, I want to go help. I live down here in Texas. I want to go help. Please plug me in. And Ray or Dale would attest, and Chris Keys would attest to what Marty did when she showed up down there in Beaumont. And then we went down there, and she came and helped us. And man, oh man, oh man, God bless Marty. And she's all in. And I can't say enough about her. God bless you, Marty. Go ahead, Jared.
This regional get together and we're just having a blessed time. We're studying the word, we're talking about prep, how to keep each other safe, how to build our downline. And I'm telling you, if you're not involved in this operation, everyone out there, you're missing out. It is such a blessing to be with the body of Christ, with like-minded believers, with people who get off the couch and get out in action and network and relationship build, because it's all about our King, our Savior. It's all for His glory. And if we don't get ready now, we're not going to have a chance. So
bless, get involved, folks. Bless you, Marty.
All right.
God bless you, Marty.
Hey, Coach. Mark Rebel, Terrell, hey, Mark. Texas. Heard you on a DVD from the Dallas Prophecy Conference. And wow. Just loved your faith. Such an honor to get to know you. When I heard you, it reminded me much of Keith Green in the mid-70s. So refreshing to see a movement like Salt and Light, and how God is using you. Anyway, I was convinced that I wanted to be a part of it. And of course, networking, my wife was there, and through other people, we met Chad and Michelle, and came down, and of course, fell in love with them, and the lifestyle church, which I pursued my whole life, and just so look forward to working arm in arm with them and you, and an honor to be called in the army of the gospel together.
Amen, Mark. But
love you and appreciate you, and so thankful for the man and the heart that Chad is and has, and just look forward to what the Lord has for all of us in the ministry.
Amen, Mark. Hey, God bless you.
Josh here with my family.
Well, Josh, my man.
Love you. Love Michelle, and appreciate the ministry, because this brigade down here in Texas, part of Salt, Pass Assault, obviously, this brigade down here is really getting together. We're really gelling. We're really forming together. All the folks are really, the fellowship time was amazing. We had a great time fellowship here, which is super important. That bond that brings us all close together is just, it's super important. And so we had the fellowship bonding us together. And then you add in all the prayer time that we had, okay, and then on top of that, all the spiritual warfare, and we just, man, I tell you what, we just had a great weekend here. We did a lot of fun prepping, a lot of fun shooting, a lot of fun studying the word, and we just want to invite everyone here within our region, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, man, if you can make it out here, it's worth it. It's one of the best weekends you'll have.
Amen. God bless all you guys. Chad, jump in here, man. When's the next one down your way, Chad?
Well, thanks, Coach. Yeah, you're exactly right. November 18th and 19th, we're having another one there. It's been great. I could have put more and more people on there, but, you get the point. I'm just trying to show the inspiration that people are receiving now. They're getting the calling, and we've had half of our crew this time was new people. So it was awesome to really, it's moving. You just got to keep hitting the bushes.
Folks, we got to pull people out of their comfort zones. That's where we are. I salute Chad. Here's my little sweetheart, Sally, wave. I salute Chad. It hasn't been an easy slog, because one of the first jobs we gave to Chad was to try to organize what's going on down in Texas. And it's been tough. And he's been, Chad, the Bible says, we read yesterday, to commit to faithful men. And I want everybody to know how faithful Chad Estes is to what we're doing. So, Chad, I appreciate you and Michelle. And I'd love to come down on the 18th. I'm not home, so I can't check my schedule. But there's any way that we can do it. If not, we're going to. The last time I did it, a hurricane blew in, Chad. Maybe I shouldn't try to get down there, man.
Well, it took a hurricane to keep you from coming. So,
It did, brother. It did. And if you remember, we argued whether or not I ought to come. That's how crazy we are, huh? It's all good. It's all. Hey, while I'm here, while we're on this topic, I got something else for you today. Hang in there a minute. Pastor Dale, just jump in here real quick, Pastor Dale, and let us know. Because Dale's been the, I don't even know. He's been the nuts and the bolts and the glue. He's kept that whole thing together down there. He and Chris Keys, Dale, just kind of give us an overview of really what's been going on down there in Port Arthur.
Well, first I'll step off that and go on to, you know me, Coach, you know what I've been going through for the past couple months. You know, I always refer to the scripture where people wanted to follow Jesus, but they wanted to bury their father-in-law. They wanted to plow up their field. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. And he who puts his hands to the plow is not worthy of the cause. Brother, man, look, I've eliminated every excuse Satan has thrown over me the past 2 months. And so, you know, there is no good enough excuse. To me, personally, my hardest day down there was yesterday or Tuesday, waiting for my trailer to get fixed, sitting on my hands and not doing anything. That's when I get uncomfortable, is when I'm not doing something. That's me. But now, so what's going on down there? And of course, we also fed another nearly 1,000 people down there the weekend while gutting out two homes. And then the trailer broke down. I went and rented a U-Haul trailer and picked up.
Yeah, these kids from Kentucky Mountain Bible College down there last weekend to help about 15 of them.
They were great. Go ahead.
I'm just trying to lay.
And listen, brother, it wasn't just feeding. Listen to what the Holy Spirit did to this lady down there, brother, on one of the feedings. She was on her way to church, and the Lord told her to go to that store. She was on her way to church and showed up at the church when she got to that store. And she became our translator for the entire night. That's why we had 75 people in the chair the entire time. We were all those kids were able to give their testimonies. And brother, we gave out, I mean, over 150 Bibles on Sunday night and praying with people. I mean, it wasn't just feeding them, brother. That's false hope right there. We brought the message, and it was incredible. It was incredible.
And those kids had never done anything like that, had they?
Oh, listen, I'm still getting, I got letters from them. When they left, I was dropping off the trailer that morning, whatever, when they left, they were writing notes and putting it on my suitcase and telling me just how their lives were changed forever. And I said, in a good way. So, that's what we did. And then I knew that this team was coming in. And once again, a broken down trailer wasn't going to get it done. These guys were coming in, and I knew that they were flying and not driving their trucks anymore. They needed sheetrock. So that's what I did. I said, Lord, and I put a plea out on Facebook, and nobody responded. Once again, church awake, but nobody out of bed. And right. I called up and got Ung, who comes in, the Vietnamese translator. But I loaded up 60, and then we went down there. And then the people in that area helped us unload their sheetrock. And so it went so great. We were able to make 4 more trips, getting 60 sheets of sheetrock each time, plus the nails, plus the sheetrock mud, and put it in 5 houses. So I told Rich, guys, got your work cut out for you guys. Go ahead and have fun. Now, Rich is perking today. Talk to him probably in about 4 days. He'd be tired.
Yeah.
So
it'll be a good tired.
I got guys coming in next weekend. They're going to have a big feeding. I have Rusty Thomas's son in the New Life Drama Team. They've already lined up wanting to come in on the 15th of November.
Oh my goodness.
No. So we've got business, brother. It's not slowing down.
I'm getting
And like
one.
I said, that lady where Craig was at, what Rich was telling about, Craig came in. I didn't even know who Craig was. I never talked to Craig until the morning he called me. But there was a lady who pulled up to the house up in Beaumont and said, my house hasn't even been gutted yet. I said, ma'am, I said, I got some guys coming in. They don't have a car. I said, give me your name and number. So she gave me her name. And of course, she kind of felt, you know, probably thinking I was just taking her name and number, never call her back. Man, she called me back yesterday. She was so excited that those guys were there and so appreciative. She could not believe it that we actually followed through with what we said we were going to do. Jesus said this, John chapter 4. His disciples come to him and said, Master, have you eaten? Has somebody brought you food? And Jesus said, I have food you know not of. To do the will of him who has sent me, but to accomplish the work.
Mm. Faithful men, Dale. And see, that's one of the byproducts that I hear this from everybody. Folks, stay with me. We're going somewhere this morning. I promise you. This is important. People's lives are changed when they get out. when they get out of the box, their life has changed. Now, I don't know what it is that's holding you back. I don't know. That's a commercial, isn't it? What's holding you back? Talking about the seatbelt. I don't know what it is that's preventing you from getting involved. But I'm going to tell you, it will be a life-changing situation for you. Isn't it? It's like prayer. What was that Nicole C. Mullen song? I think it was her that said it, talking about, I hear it in my head. But the point is, prayer changes me. See, we go into prayer because we want to change the Lord, right? Lord, do this, and Lord, do this, and Lord, do this. Lord, no. When you go into prayer, when you go into deep prayer, you change. Your heart gets changed. When you go serve, see, you think you're going to go help somebody else, it changes you. It changes you. You'll never be the same. And that's what grieves my heart, that so many are living such a shallow Christian life because they haven't stepped out. They won't cast it all aside and say, go, here I am, Lord, use me. I got to be quiet because I don't want to wake up. I want to yell. That's the call. That's the Salt and Light Brigade. That's what we're about. Get involved. Let your faith grow. Dale, they're awake, but they're still in bed. And I'm working hard to shake them out of bed, man.
What did Proverbs say? He says, a foolish man is a man who sleeps on the bed like a door on a hinge. He rolls over. He says, oh, there's a lion in the street, a lion in the street, and he perishes in his life.
Wow. Dale, there's a lion in the street, brother. And we got to get the lion of the tribe of Judah back out on the street. That's what we have to do. Dale, I love you. And I know that you guys have been through it. And you'll never know. You'll just never know the life that you've impacted and how good you've made. You are, Dale, a faithful man. You're a faithful man. That's the greatest thing you can ever say about you. You're a faithful man. And I appreciate you more than you know. By the way, Dale, are you coming to Indianapolis too?
I'll be in Indianapolis. Yes, I'm actually getting ready going for colonoscopy, brother. I'm going into Indiana. But listen, I want you to tell Jason's. I've known Jason Storms before he got saved. Jason and I just there's a kindred of spirit. Please tell him I said hello and tell Matt I said hello also.
I'll do it. Well, I'll see you in Indy. I'll see you here. In a week.
Yeah, like brother. Me. Yes, sir. We will see you.
I think I'll just sell my house to get a mobile home. You know what I'm talking about. Seems like
there you go.
Bless you, Dale. Bless you, Dale. Thanks,
love
man.
You, brother. God bless you.
I love you too, buddy. There's a man of God for you, folks, right there. There is a man of God. Hey, Dale, here's what I want you to do, Jared. This is why it's important, okay, folks? This is why this is so critical to me. I want you to do two things for me, Jared. I want you to let's do this first. Pull up, Jared. It's almost clear down at the bottom, and it says, where is it? No, I just lost it. Churches are closing. There it is. It's about the midway point. Pull that up, Jared. Churches are closing. Folks, church is alive in me. My church ain't closing. The church that is inside you, the ecclesia, that church ain't closed. And you know what we're finding out? We're finding out. I got some statistics to show you here as we get rolling here. I'm trying to see where I am. Here I am. Look at this, folks. Jared, let's scroll down through this thing. Churches merge, close. We no longer live in Christendom. We really have to accept that it is a thing of the past. No, it isn't. No, it isn't a thing of the past. It's now counterculture. We are in a new age, I think. Now, boy, am I going to, shoo, coach, be careful here, theologically, because I'm not a theologian. Boys, it's about the kingdom. It ain't about the church. It ain't about the church. We'll say that again. It's about the kingdom. It's not about the church. And unfortunately, we've seen so much of America where pastors are building their own kingdoms. They're building their own churches and their own programs and they're building their own kingdoms. And I believe that much of what we see going on in America is the Ichabod is written over the door of some of the churches. What is Ichabod? Does anybody know what Ichabod means? I'm waiting. I know you do. Ichabod means this. The spirit has departed. God's no longer there. The spirit's gone. And we're seeing it. Jared, scroll down to some of these other pictures here. Look how empty these churches are. Because they're just full of just dead man's religion. Scroll on down. Look at this. Look at this church. And who are the ones that are dying? What are the ones that are dying? Those old religious ones. The Lutherans and the Episcopals and the ceremonial ones, the ones that are doing this kind of malarkey, they're the ones that are dying. They're dying. They got these great big edifices, and some of them are being turned into bars, and some of them are being turned into mosques. Listen, this what a time we live in. We see right before us the tearing down of these false idols of religion and religiosity. It's happening all around us. But then we got Rich and Jim and Ray and all these guys with a church of Jesus Christ alive inside of them. They're thriving. The church is thriving. Is that you? You want to sit in an old dead thing like that? Just hold that there a second, Jared. Can you make that picture bigger? Can you guys see this? I don't know if you can or not, Jared. 774-year-old Episcopal church. Look at that thing. Look at that. Hey, look at that. You have any idea how many there are? Now they're merging. Yeah. And then they'll get some, I don't know, they get so stuck up on their liturgy and their religiosity and their way of doing things, teaching his commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. Am I sounding harsh here, boys? Somebody jump in here. Am I sounding a little bit harsh here today?
Truthful, Coach.
Amen. This is what you want to do? You want to get up Sunday morning and go do this? Is this it? This is your duty right here, these people? Are you kidding me, aren't you? You kidding me? This? Ichabod, baby. Ichabod. Hey, Jared, look that word up for me because people don't believe it. I-C-A-B. Michelle's helping. I-C-H-A-B-O-D. Ichabod. There it is. Definition of Ichabod. Used to express regret for departed glory. Departed glory. The Ichabod. Where is it? It's in Psalms, I think, Jared. See if you can Google where in the scripture it says Ichabod, because Ichabod is written over the doorpost. Where is that? Jared will find it for me. So I think it's Psalms and Ichabod. No, I just said Psalms. Maybe it's not. Yeah, there it is. When Ichabod, there it is. Hey, don't you love Google? I love Google. Ichabod. Let's go down. Psalm 78. It goes clear down at the bottom. Where does it say it, Jared? I think it's clear. I think it's the last. oh my goodness. You're heading this. Psalm 78, verse 6. Oh my, are you kidding me? Jared, let's just go to Psalm 78. Boy, folks, this is fresh. This is fresh. Yeah, I think it is. And Ichabod was written over the door. Maybe not. Ichabod written. See if it goes down the bottom. See if it talks about it. Their priests fell by the sword, and the widows made. See, I don't have my Bible in front of me today. I'd have whipped that thing open right there. They didn't realize. No, that's not it. That Ichabod had been written over the door. What's Ichabod mean? The spirit has departed. Glory has departed. What? That box. That box on the corner. Ichabod. Boy, I wish we could find what I'm looking for, because Jared. This is important for men. What does the term Ichabod mean in the Bible, Jared? See if you can click that. Oh, it's in 1 Samuel. There it is. Maybe. Yeah, we keep chasing this thing around, doesn't it? And David, the Bible says, and David wist not that the Spirit had departed. The Spirit had departed, and David didn't even know it. Ichabod has been written over the doorposts of churches all across America. And it says here in 2 Samuel, now Eli, there, thank you, Jared. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel's fled before the Philistines. And there hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that he fell from off of the seat. Imagine, he fell backwards by the side of the gate and broke his neck, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had not judged, and he had judged Israel for 40 years. Old fat guy. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for pains came upon her. And about that time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from the church, because the ark of God was taken, because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from the church, for the ark of God is taken. This has happened before, guys. This has happened before. And I believe we are transitioning from a church age of grace, to the kingdom age. I believe that God is doing the greatest setup that we've ever imagined, setting up for his imminent physical return to planet Earth. That's what the scripture teaches, right? And so, because we've not kept our lampstands, we've not done a good job of it. All these empty these churches are emptying. And see, they're emptying and they're going into phony churches. They're going into these new evangelifish churches with no law. What was in the Ark of the Covenant? What was in the Ark of the Covenant? The Ten Commandments were in the Ark of the Covenant. And when the Ark disappeared, when the commandments of God disappeared, when the fear of the Lord disappeared, Ichabod, the spirit left. No fear of God. We talked about that yesterday. There's no fear of God. Man, oh man. Somebody jump in here. Feel like I'm just sitting here in a hotel talking to myself today. Okay, don't do that. Jared, go here. A good buddy, Pastor Mike Spaulding. Go down and click on what he wrote. Pastor Mike Spaulding wrote it, newswithviews.com yesterday, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, a week ago. I don't know when it was. I've been saving this one for a while as well. The church and its mission today, part one. Hey, Joe, can you read? We've had Pastor Mike Spaulding. Mike's in Lima, Ohio. He's a man's man, a godly man, a man's man. And I'll read what he's written here. Can you do that for me, Joe? I don't hear you, Joe. I see you, Mike. You seem to be muted, but I don't hear you. And he's still not hearing. I know he's working hard to do it. So while he's working hard to do it, I'm going to read it. America's being led into a cesspool of deviancy, and America's pastors remain largely silent. Ichabod, for those of us who have been calling attention to the rank immorality that daily seems to increasingly encroach upon the shores of common sense and moral sensibilities, this is not surprising. Few pastors said a word when contemplative prayer, labyrinth walking, yoga, word faith heresy, and many other misguided and unbiblical practices were introduced into the church by goats masquerading as sheep. While these things demonstrate a tragic departure from the faith once for all delivered to the saints, today we're facing a full-on frontal assault from our politicians. President Obama, who demonstrated a spirit of anti-Christ, lobbied for men utilizing women's bathrooms, and threatened our public schools with loss of funding if they did not allow boys to shower with girls. Attorney General Loretta Lynch threatened fines and jail time in a blatant attempt to make sure Obama's evil and unconstitutional demands appeared legitimate. The progressive Marxists among us, aided by the progressive Marxist media, have rendered most pastors deaf, mutes, for fear of being labeled as a hater or racist or homophobe. Friend, it's time that Christians throw off the shackles of political correctness and stand strong in the power of God and to deliver this message. No more, no more, no more. We will not silently stand by and watch our nation be torn about by people who hate America. We will not stand by and allow morally depraved people to have their way with our children. We will not be afraid of what any president or any other evil tyrant says or threatens to do. God will reign and he will rule in our hearts and minds, and therefore we will not fear any man or the consequences of our stand. It's the 11th hour in America, friends. Will you don the spiritual armor of God and stand firm against the encroaching evil? Will you encourage your Christian brothers and sisters to join in the battle? Please encourage other believers to find a church that is true to the gospel and is not compromised by end times Babylonianism. This means finding a church that's not characterized by compromise, pandering to the pagan culture, or that rejects the Bible as our guide for righteous and holy living, very word of God. First article in a five-part series, yada, yada, intended to encourage you, to help you identify a body of believers who's being church, who is being the church as God intended. God bless you today as you seek him. Can you say Salt and Light Brigade? See, I'm not the Pope. I'm not the Pope of the Salt and Light Brigade. I'm merely casting the vision. Do what Chad Estes is doing. Do what Rob Pugh is doing. Doing it right where you are. Raise up a body of believers right where you are. Ichabod, it's been written over the door of the church. Look around. Look around. The phony church is doing okay, but the real church. Anybody out there? Amen.
We need to start something like Pass Assault up here in Canada.
Got to do it, brother. It's not a, hey, Chad did it. Chad did it. It's going on. It's going on. Chad's doing it. Rob Pugh's doing it. Some people just get small business, man. Start a small business without having to earn a living doing it. Just get people together.
The church is dying up here just like down there, man.
Well, it's Ichabod. Ichabod. It's been written over it. All we got to do is read the word and see the spirit's departed. It said that King David, when he was in the midst of his battle, he got to the point where he thought he was doing it all in his strength and it was all in his own power. And the Bible says in Psalms, I believe it is, that David wist, W-I-S-T, wist not that the spirit had departed. In other words, David didn't understand that he's now doing it all on his own and it is doomed for failure. We're watching churches all across America that wist not that the spirit had departed. And they're doing the plans of man, sensitivity, friendship evangelism, doing all this stuff, trying to give the appearance of life, fluff. And people walk into churches and they go home and they say two things. I didn't feel the spirit today. Or, boy, I really felt the spirit. It's all about feelings. All about feelings. And feelings ain't going to carry you very far because it doesn't take very long for that feeling to change. And once that feeling changes, where are you? You get on to Dale Socia's church. There ain't a thousand guy in Dale Socia's church. I'll tell you that. But there's some hardy saints who are working hard to advance the kingdom of God. Yeah, George.
Coach, I think you're right. That was me. I think you're right on that. I don't think most of these churches realize it either. That's a good point. So sometimes I can be a little hard on them because I think they realize it, but I think you're right. I think they're ignorant of it, and they're doing their best in their own power to create something. But we know without the Spirit of the Lord that we're nothing. We're nothing. It's all about the Holy Spirit.
They think because they feel something during praise and worship that the Holy Spirit visited. You know who the Holy Spirit visited? Rich Smith. He got him on a plane and flew him down to Port Arthur. You know who the Spirit visited? Ray LeBlanc, who jumped on a plane and flew down to Port Arthur to try to make a difference in the lives of people. You know who the Spirit visited? It visited Craig, who didn't have any money, yet drove faithfully from Branson, Missouri. See, that's how the Spirit visits you, boys and girls. It ain't a feeling that you get. It's a command. It's a whisper in your ear. Go, do, speak. And then you obey and you go do it. That's how the Spirit moves. It's not a feeling. It's not going into a church and doing praise and worship and feeling the Spirit. And what it is, we've turned it into a spiritual experience. Yes, sir.
Is it the Spirit turning a moment into a movement?
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. And I look down here, like right now over here, I see Tim Tuba. There's a spirit-filled man, Roger and Ray and Portia and Matthew and Jeff Klein and Buck Sarge and JR. These are men, John Hartzler. These are men filled with the Spirit of God. Hey, boys, what the hell's holding us back? What is it we're afraid of? If it isn't going to happen through us, who is it going to happen through? Well, who are you waiting on? Who are you waiting on? They ain't going to come knock on your door. They're not going to do that. Money ain't going to jump into your pocket. You got to go get it. We're contending for the faith, earnestly contending for the faith. And some of us are awake and still in bed. You're missing it. Like you fall asleep during a football game and wake up and the game's over and it's exciting at the finish of it and you missed the whole thing. You gotta watch the replay. You gotta move from being spectators to getting actively involved. I only got 9 minutes left. Are you kidding? Somebody jump in here. Oh, I got something else to do. I got something else to do. Oh my God. Hey Jared, let's go down there. Did I show this the other day? I don't know if I did. Jared, go down where it says millennials and religion. Millennials and religion. Boys, I hate religion. I hate it with a passion. Rules and regulations and do's and don'ts, earning your way in heaven, acting like Christians. I hate it. I hate it. I might catch my breath. Jared, what did I tell you to put up? Oh, okay. Teaching religion for witchcraft. We talked about this yesterday. Why are they? That's our future. The millennials are our future. Hey, this is the future. This is the parents of your grandchildren. What values are they teaching to their children? Where have we dropped the ball? And so the church, in an attempt to be relevant, the church is now embracing these kind of people standing in front of us, drawing them in through spirituality. I'm not a Christian. I'm spiritual. The church is embracing all this stuff. And what's the Lord do? He picks up the ark and he moves. Spirits departed. Oh, you may be feeling something in your church. You may be dancing and singing and waving flags. You may be doing all that stuff. I'm going to tell you something. It's a different spirit. If you are not moved, you better hear me. If you are not moved to do something with your faith, then I question whether or not you have the Holy Spirit. If you think that Christianity is nothing more than getting up in the morning and saying a prayer, and saying a prayer before you go to bed at night, and saying prayer over your food, and going to church on Sunday, and dancing and raising your hands, and then feeling the Holy, if you think that's Christianity, I don't even know. I can't help. Because all throughout the Bible, you will find that this is a all-out physical conflict that's raging on earth. And we've made about us. And so we got these guys here. They're looking, the millennials, they're looking for witchcraft and astrology. They want to look up at the stars. See, you have their biorhythms are aligned. Coming to church and answer around, oh, I felt the spirit. Am I being too harsh here, boys? Because you're awful quiet out there. I'm just telling you the truth. My heart aches right now because I can't be with Rich and us. But I get to go be with Rob and some other great believers. But I want to be down there. Why? Because I don't want to talk about the Lord. I want to go serve them. And you get up on Sunday morning and you go to church and you have some guy talk to you about God. Talk to you about God. And then you go home and you don't do a damn thing all week. Except meet your needs and serve your needs and your wants and your desires and your emotions. You feel this. You don't do a damn thing to help anybody else. You don't do a damn thing to stand up for the Lord. You don't do a damn thing to speak up against the forces of darkness. Because the church has taught you that everybody's supposed to love you. Jesus said, they're going to hate you, man. They hated me first. In fact, Jesus says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you. Say all manner of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward. Where did we ever come up with this concept? Christianity is going to be embraced by the world. that sinners are going to openly embrace Christianity. You won't find that anywhere in the scriptures. And we live a non-offensive Christianity, marketing a non-offensive Christianity, and the devil's kids are eating our lunch. Dave. Hey, right-wing watch out there making fun of me. Hey. Yeah, Raj.
Well, and I think the numbers prove it. 20 years, it has been seeker-sensitive, this and that. But the church is losing people with that theology. The churches, I think, that may be growing are ones that just share God's word straight up. But for 25 years, we've been doing the seeker-sensitive, let's get along and let's look like the culture. And what is happening? The church is losing members by the thousands.
We're looking like the culture. We're looking like the culture, right? Roger, I'm going to tell you this. How can any church stand by and watch God's little children be slaughtered? How can any church stand by and watch that go on? Don't even speak against it anymore. Why? Because as Matt tells us, we put the second commandment above the first. We don't want to offend people, so therefore we love people more than we love God.
Dave,
we won't speak the truth. We won't rescue them. Yeah.
Real quick, did you see how they put Christmas back in Granville?
Yeah, they had to fight to do it though, didn't they, Roger?
Well, here's my thing to the huddle, real quick. We have a local radio guy who gets everybody excited about putting the word Mary back in the Christmas celebration in Granville, Ohio.
Yeah.
Can't get the people excited to go to an abortion clinic.
That's right. That's right, man. Get them excited to go do that. And well. I'm kind of hard to live with today. I got another thing. I'm going to save it for tomorrow to show you. I'm not going to talk about it. So pray for us. Literally pray for this. How about this? Michelle, my secretary, just said the College of the Ozarks, that's just outside of Branson, is making it a mandatory patriotism class for all of its freshmen. Isn't that something? Finally, huh? Finally, and you know, folks, what Roger's talking about here in Granville, Ohio, it's a rich liberal little town here in Denison University's there. The city council, they had a big fight at their city council the other night because they've had this Christmas celebration that goes on in the city of Granville. And now they're so tolerant, so diverse, and there's so many different cultures. They wanted to remove the name. They didn't want to call it a Christmas celebration. But the Christians prevailed. It's still going to be called a Christmas. Are we? Hey, folks, listen. Jesus is the reason for the season, right? So when they try to do away with Christmas, what the hell is going on here? Oh, Lord. And we don't get it. You know, I had Rob Pugh told me. Rob, I'm going to tell you something Rob told me. I'm doing this, and Rob, I hope I'm not breaking confidence with you. I know I'm not, man. I know I'm not. Here's what Rob said to me yesterday. And Rob Pugh runs all around Wisconsin, living the Wisconsin Christian News. He heard Rusty yesterday, and that clip we played is unbelievable. Wasn't it, Rusty? And here's what he said. He said, I'm telling you, every pastor in town is a pompous liar. I'm not exaggerating. Every pastor in town. Now we know not every, right? We know there are some. Whew, boy, I'm making friends today, aren't I? I'm making friends.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
We'll be over at Founders Clinic, the death camp, Saturday morning at 8:00. Anybody locally wants to meet us over there?
That's Columbus, folks. That's Jeff coming from Mount Vernon. They're going to go to the clinic. I'm so sick of our powerlessness. I'm so sick of the timid, powerless church. I'm so sick of cowardly, fearful Christian men I'm so sick of apathetic Christians who think all they have to do is, well, we'll pray for you, brother. We'll pray for it. We'll pray that clinic. I'm so sick of it. Why? Because of the way we represent our Lord and Savior. We are his representative here. He said, occupy till I come. We can't wait to give up his seat, his position of authority. He said, hold it, boys, till I get back. And we can't wait to hand it over to the God. Pray for us. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow.